So we're in Luke chapter 19 as we begin this series on Thanksgiving. And how do we understand how important it is to have a heart that is a giving heart in a world that's always about taking? So Luke chapter 19, here we go. Verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and as it notes here, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So Zacchaeus ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when everyone else saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to his house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray. Lord, this is your word. And this is the story of your life here on earth. And this is a story of changed lives. And we ask now that this would not be a ritual, a religious moment. But Lord, we would come into your presence and you would speak to our heart, to our mind, and to our spirit. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
We've been talking about how Jesus comes to offer this thing called eternal life. Jesus came, and he kept talking about this idea of offering eternal life. He said in John 4:14, "The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And what we said a few weeks ago is most people think of the word eternal life, and they think of, oh, when I die, I'll go to heaven. But Jesus was not really talking about that. He was actually talking about the life you live here on earth. Eternal means what? That there's no end. And Jesus was saying, if you believe in me and if you come to me, I'm going to give you a life that you can live today that has no ending. So when you ever read or hear about the idea of eternal life, instead of thinking about one day being in heaven, what you should think about is an unstoppable, overflowing life right now. Now, because that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was saying that there's a life we can live that doesn't have an end. So even when we run into difficulty, and even when this world is broken and injustice happens, and we fail on the inside, that life doesn't have to end because he has something for us that has no ending. And so Jesus kept going around, and he talked about our need to have this living water in our life. And he kept talking about it in a way like our hearts were kind of like this glass. And this world didn't have anything really to fill it up with that was satisfying and could meet the thirst of our life. But he always said there are all these different things we can try to put in there. That when we feel this emptiness and when there's nothing that we have, we can, you know, I mean, most people like Zacchaeus, they just try to fill it with money. That's my life savings right there, so nobody take it at the end of the service. This is all I got, all right? It's $23, I think. We could try to fill with that. A lot of us, we try to fill life with this thing right here, right? And maybe we're trying to fill it with this thing because this is our social life or our social status. Maybe it's because it's our ESPN app and we're keeping up with all the scores on our fantasy football. Maybe it's our ticker to our stocks and seeing how that's going. Or what's going on in the news. And so that thing, someone just texted me right now. That's great. Okay. And maybe we try to fill our life with who's going to talk to me next. Maybe we're spending all the time taking selfies because we're so in love with how we look. And, you know, just, you know. And maybe we do that. Maybe we try to fill our lives up with these things right here. You know, it's kind of about the car we're driving or what we own. And so we're trying to trying to fill up life in our heart with that. And by the way, I've got my my YMCA little tag to get in there. So, I mean, maybe that's some of us too. It's about, you know, this world is all about physical beauty and physical strength. And it's the sense if I can be that, then maybe I'm not empty anymore. I've got life. And there's that. And of course, here's my Brewster's punch card for a free ice cream. All right. So if any of you got an extra you want to share with me, and my Olive Garden gift card. And one of you, no, this is actually mine. I'm not giving it to any of you for after service. But love Olive Garden. All right. So, I mean, we try to fill it up with all these things. Now, Jesus is saying it's super common for all of us to try to do that, but he says there are actually two big problems with living a life that way. First of all, nothing in this is eternal. None of this has no end. And if any of us have looked at our bank accounts lately, we can say amen. All right? There's a definitive end to where that goes. And so Jesus said, look, there's a problem. You have an unending need in your life, but you're filling it with things that they're not eternal. And what's going to happen is it's never going to satisfy, and it's never going to be enough. Now, he said, that's one problem, but here's the other problem. You only know how to give what's inside of you. And you live in a broken world, and you live in broken families, and you live with broken friends, and in broken workplaces, and broken schools, and a broken community. And when it's broken, the only thing you can give it is what you've got inside you. And none of these things can meet the need. So you're kind of passing on the problem to the rest of the world when this is what you fill up with. Because when the world has a problem and its needs, and I mean, let's just pay slight attention to the news and recognize how unsolvable all the things we're trying to solve are with the way we're trying to solve them, right? Like every time we do this and we pour out more of what's in us, to help, it's not helping. And we're kind of passing on the problem, and we're kind of making it worse because there's this unending need, and yet there's nothing eternal about what we're pouring out. And Jesus is saying, look, it's really important what you're filled with, not only for yourself, but for the world around you. So he keeps talking about this idea of living water. And he keeps saying, and notice the second verse there. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams, and it's really the idea of unending streams of living water, will flow from where? Not from outside coming in, but inside going out. And it says, by this he meant the Spirit. So Jesus, and he says it, John 10:10, he says, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to do what? Give life and to the full. He keeps talking about this idea of being filled and overflowing. And you and I, you know, like the Spirit of God could be in us, and it could change, and it could be satisfying. And so a lot of us, we kind of live our Christian life like this. Like, yeah, oh, I've got some of the Spirit in me. I've got some of God in me. And there's some room for some other things also in there. And, you know, and I'm not going to stick my phone in there because I'm not sure I have an insurance plan or not on it. So, but it's the whole idea, like, we think, oh, yeah, I've got some of that. But that's not what Jesus is offering, because Jesus is offering something that's eternal, that never ends. And he's saying that we could have a life that is full, that no matter what comes against it, it's always overflowing. Because we think of the word full and we think of some. We think of the idea, we kind of have a Western mindset. But in the Jewish culture, the word full would mean something different. Because let me know when this glass is full. Because it's not full now. There's still what? Room. And it's not full now. And it's getting kind of to the top, but is it full? Because there's more room. A matter of fact, when is it really full? When is the one moment I know it's full? When it starts to overflow. Then it's full. Because until that moment, there's still room. And Jesus is offering us this life that says, look, I'm inviting you to be full of life. And the idea is you can't ever really be full unless you're overflowing. So the whole idea, if I want to have an overflowing life, if I want to have something that's eternal that never stops, the way I know it is by how I give. Because it's always about what's pouring out from me. And God is inviting me into this life. And Jesus constantly is declaring this life, says, you can have more, way more. What? Yeah, I'm kind of full. It's like, no, that's not full. That's not even filling up the spaces in between. I've got a full that overflows. You're going to know it by what comes out of your mouth and how you live your time and literally by how you give. Because we're all given something. Because in a world that has something in need, we're always giving something to it. We're always reacting to it in some way. And so Jesus is talking about this amazing life of give, and what's overflowing. I'm not giving out of nothing. I'm giving because it's more than I can hold. Now, here's the irony of what Jesus is doing at this exact time. Jesus is talking about full life. And at the same time, guess what topic he talks about more than almost any other topic? This topic. In the Gospel of John, one out of every seven verses is about money or earthly possessions. Out of the 38 parables he teaches, depending on how you count parables, 16 of them are about wealth, money, and material possessions. Why is Jesus, on one hand, talking all about eternal life that doesn't stop, and the other time, talk about all the stuff that stops in my life all the time? Because he knows that on a daily basis, money is the pressure of everyday life. Money's this thing that gets us into a framework that says, I don't have enough, and I need something, I need to touch it, I need to own it. And it's this place that we always feel the pressure of. And we can kind of at one point be kind of knowing that God has this overflowing life, but we're running into a very underfunded personal experience. And Jesus knows it. So in the Bible, he's always talked about it. The only thing he talks about more in the book of Luke than money is the kingdom of God. Because he knows this is where the rubber hits the road in our life. And this is what tends to steal all the joy and all the focus out of our life. So I was thinking about the other day when I was in the, we had First Wednesday this last Wednesday, and it was just this wonderful worship time. I was thinking about one of them I had a year ago. I had this amazing worship time. And it was a Wednesday night, and then I get up Monday morning, I have a great time in the Word, and I'm just kind of overflowing. And then when I do some counseling, and I hear some great news about missions, and I'm just, man, I'm bubbling up, and it's a great day. And then I said, man, I get to finish work, I'm going to go watch my daughter play field hockey. I think she was at Monacan that day. And I'm going, I'm having this great day, and I walk up to the gate, and I realize, I have no cash on me. I'm in this overflowing life, and I don't have $6 to pay so I can get in to watch my kid play field hockey. And all of a sudden, this overflowing life and this great experience, all of a sudden, it got a little, didn't feel overflowing anymore. My overflowing spiritual life met my underfunded economic life, and the two worlds kind of collapsed. And literally, now I'm starting to get a bad attitude. I'm like, yeah, what's the deal anyway? I'm the parent of the kid who's playing. Why am I paying? This is my kid. Without my kid, you don't have a game to charge everybody else to see. Why am I paying right now? So now I'm getting a bad attitude. And it's just, all of a sudden, it's the daily kind of situations. So one of the things we're going to do in this sermon series is we're going to look at what Jesus said money was all about, because it has a way of stealing our heart and stealing our joy. And instead of living this overflowing life, it has a way of really kind of chucking it out and saying, let me put all these things that don't work in it. So here's a little summary of what Jesus said, and we'll unpack it in the next few weeks. But Jesus said, in this world, people try to use money, and really this world always sells us on money as an answer for these three things. That it's a means of power, that it's a measure of importance, and it's a mask for happiness when we really don't have any. So I just want you to think about this just for a moment. Jesus said, in this world, people try to use money as a means of power. It's security. So when you and I think about giving our kids a better life than we lived, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about money. You're thinking about making sure they had more and didn't have to do without like you did. Why? Because we have this inherent thought that security, and especially about the future, comes from money. So when we think about taking care of our aging parents, and we're looking and we're trying to start sizing up the issue of medical bills and what's going to cost, what are we thinking about? We're thinking about money, because it's kind of got this pressure to us, And in this world, money feels like power. When I know I have it, I feel like I have this word called control. And the more I have, the more comfort I feel. It's really a security issue in my life. And I don't mean for it to go there, but I've been trained to think like that. And everything I deal with in a day has that money issue attached to it. But it's also this area of significance. You know, if I don't own a car and you do, are you more important than me? If I don't own a house but you do, are you better than me? If I don't have the iPhone X and you do, like, is that, does that say something about who you are versus who I am? Because I still got my flip phone, man. I'm like whipping that bad boy out, make a call. Like, is that it? You know, if you know, you're younger and you're in the middle of kind of the social scene, I mean, if you don't have a certain, you know, certain look and certain clothes, I mean, are you better than me if my clothes are older than yours? But there's something about it. We don't say it, and we go, oh, no, you know, I'd never be like that. But a lot of what we do has to do about my significance is what this money can get me. It's kind of my measure of how well I've done and how important I am. And Jesus is saying, you know, that's not the right measure at all. But then he's saying, this one's really important. It's really a substitute. Like, this is the one we go to. This is our go-to when we don't have happiness. Because anybody in this room ever said, I don't like my boss, and I don't like what I do, but I'm sure making a lot of money. And it's this issue that's my substitute. And when other things are broken down in my life, if I still have money, still the world around me says, you're doing fine. Just, you know, don't panic about that stuff. And God's like, no, you should absolutely panic about it. That's the important stuff. This is not going to help you. So you and I, we're kind of in this place. And this guy Zacchaeus we just read about, he's living all this out. All right? Now, don't forget, for those of you not familiar with the story, you know, Jesus is in Israel. And Israel is overthrown and is being ruled by Rome. And Rome is not neat and pretty, and it's violent, and it's tragic, and they collect taxes to do all their stuff. And they don't collect taxes like send you a note in the mail. Like, they send a tax collector with Roman soldiers. And if you don't pay, they take whatever they want, including your women and your children. And Zacchaeus is a Jewish guy in Israel who sided with the enemy and said, I'll help you do that. So Zacchaeus is not like a friendly guy. He is drastically, desperately hated. And he, what has he done though? He said, I'm going to make my life, I'm going to make a choice about what brings me security, and I'm choosing money. I'm choosing money because he's making a ton. And he's got significance, but not the type he thought. I mean, like in Roman circles, they tolerate him. But when Jesus is coming and there's a crowd, Zacchaeus is not going in it. Because he's probably in a crowd, someone's probably going to stick him with a knife. Like, no one's helping him see Jesus. So he's getting out in front because he's got to do something. And it's a substitute. He's isolated, and it's such a substitute that this guy has all the money and all the power. What does he want? He wants to see Jesus. Why? Because he's missing something. He needs something, and Jesus has it. And so this story comes, and Jesus comes and kind of blows everybody's mind by seeing Zacchaeus and saying, I would love to have dinner with you. Because when he invites that, he says, Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house for dinner. I mean, that's what he's saying. In Jewish culture, to share a meal with someone was to say you were their friend. And that's why everybody is grumbling. You know what he did last week? Like, the soldiers he brought in my house, you know what those soldiers did to my wife? You know, that guy is going in your house? You're going to eat a meal with him? That's what's going on. And they're like, why are you with this sinner? But Jesus is looking at it a little different. He's looking about a guy, he doesn't see any security. He knows what's going on in the substitute significance. And he offers a new beginning to Zacchaeus. That, guess what? None of the money and the material possession, none of that stuff could fill his life. And the moment it happens, we get a picture of a person filled with thanksgiving, is what happens. Because what happens is once the eternal life of Jesus, the unstoppable life, not stopping, comes right to Zacchaeus, comes into his home, doesn't show up at a church service, doesn't show up at a synagogue, shows up in his house. It changes what Zacchaeus treasures. It changes how he lives. And it changes why he has peace. And this is what I want us to hear today. That when the eternal life, what word are we thinking about? Unstoppable, overflowing life. When Jesus gives that to us, not in our church, in our house, in the private spot, and it's just about who we are, when that comes in our life, it changes what I treasure, it changes how I live, and I want, please hear this today, it changes why I have peace. All right? So, let's look at this. When eternal life comes into my daily life, it changes what I treasure. Look what Zacchaeus says. Here and now, I mean, eternal life, all of a sudden, he's getting something he's never had before. Jesus gave him something he's never had before. Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will give back four times. Zacchaeus, all of a sudden, when he starts getting filled with what he really needed, he starts caring about people. He spent all of his life up to this point using people to get things. And in the moment of Jesus really coming and sharing a meal with him, now all of a sudden, it's about using his things to care for people. Because what happens is Zacchaeus goes from treasuring possessions to people. What's really important in life? We might get to this teaching in Luke 16, but Jesus says something really interesting when he's talking about how people use earthly wealth versus like how and why they use it. And he says this line at the end. Jesus says, "So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" Like there's something way more important than worldly wealth. There's a true rich. There's riches, there's something the treasure is way bigger than money. Real treasure is about people, is about family. This is my family. This is like a few months after we adopted my son Caleb from Ethiopia. And let's just get real about eternal life hitting practical life. You know, when the Lord put it on our hearts to adopt our son, it was going to cost thousands and 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 thousands of dollars that we did not have. And I literally had to look at this thing called money and this treasure in our heart and say, which one's more important? I hope you don't think I'm super shallow after saying this, but I'm looking at the adoption process saying, if we go through this adoption, I'm never having another car again, ever. Like, I'm going to run this thing into the ground, and then I'm going to duct tape it, and I'm going to drive it some more. Because this thing can't, like, I'm not, like eternal life and eternal treasure, and what was really important was running into, yeah, this is your life. This is money. This is what you've got to deal with. This is the security about what about your other kids and what they need, and college is going to come one day. By the way, you got three daughters, so you're paying for all those weddings, and what do you think about that too? Lord, help us. Okay. Well, Pastor Sean, but yeah, you know, what about your three girls? Yeah, like, I had a choice. What am I going to teach them to treasure? Am I going to talk about it, or am I going to live it out? And those moments, you and I, we live in a world that, man, it's got all sorts of workarounds to treasuring people. But it's not just the big moments. Sometimes it's like this moment, like when it's just making sure I show up to my daughter's volleyball game. Because I'm working so much and different people want me to meet with them and stuff. And it's like, do I have time to make sure I'm treasuring the right thing? Do I have time to coach my son's soccer team this year, who, by the way, is undefeated? I'm just saying. Okay. All right. Forgive me, Lord. My bad. It's not because of the coach, believe me. Do I have time for that? And the answer is like, I don't have time. I can't give that time. Why don't I do it anyway? Or maybe it's because at Halloween, without doing all the weird, stupid stuff, you can just have fun getting dressed up and having a little fun together. Like, that's treasure. That's treasure. Little side note, my son decided to dress like an old man for Halloween, and everything he's wearing came from my closet. So I'm rather encouraged about my personal life in that moment. Because treasure is about people like mi familia de iglesia, right? My church family. Like, those are people I can't replace. That's treasure. It's like these two sitting up here in the front row. That guy, Paul, he can fix everything, but he fixes my perspective more than he fixes things. He like helps me like, hey, remember what's important in life. It's about kids who nobody treasures, and some that do and need a little extra help. And, you know, I was looking at this picture, I was thinking, why would there ever be a lonely adult when there are so many kids that need to be treasured? Like, if you're, like, wondering where everybody is for you, how about you thinking about where you are for somebody else? Because I'm telling you what, there's people to treasure. This is a picture, a great one. I don't know if Lynette's here in a second, but this is Connor Sharp, and I literally just drove in way late last night because I was at our mentor classic. It's kind of dads and it's either, it's mentors and boys kind of thing when it's a dad or just a mentor. And the guys who are graduating do a manhood ceremony where it's just kind of like, hey, man, welcome to owning up, to making a difference in life and being a man and caring for others around you and knowing what God wants out of you. And I got the privilege not only for Connor there, because it's out near this bonfire thing, so it's not a great picture, but and Josh Martin. I was there for. I got the honor of being selected as one of the mentors, one of the lifetime mentors for each of them because of my relationship with them. I got to sit there and speak over their life and over tragedies and over triumph. And it was like, I can't tell you, that was worth all the money in the world, that moment. Because treasure is not things. It's people. It's Motivation Church, our church that we planted just 7 weeks ago. That's opening Sunday. And 50 of us from the church decided to be sent to that church, and now there's, you know, over 200 people there. We gave 50, and like we've got fourfold already back in return, because every time a new person comes to Christ, that's the treasure. And you and I, when we see marriage issues and parenting issues and church issues, it's because we've forgotten what the real treasure is in the middle of everything we're doing in life. But Zacchaeus, in this moment of being with Jesus, it all of a sudden it clears out his vision and he knows what's important. And you know, if you've ever thought about the word treasure in the end is all about what are you willing to die for? What are you willing to die for? And here's the beauty of the Christian faith. Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure of all, is actually the only treasure that'll die for you. Every other treasure in this world wants you to die for it. Jesus, the treasure, says, I'll die for you. That's the treasure. That's the faith that we have. Zacchaeus realizes it, but in this meal with Jesus, he also has this moment when he changes how he lives. He just gets up in the moment and says, I'm about to change my life. He spent all of his life gathering possessions. In the moment of meeting Jesus, he decides, I'm going to give. And here's what I want you to hear. Even as a Christian, there's a choice in how you live life. You can live it that way or that way, okay? There's two ways to live, even as a Christian, all right? I'm not saying there's this idea that I can live my life. I need this. That should come. Give me that. Wait, get out of my way. Give me this. And I can just live it. This life kind of, moving on, vacuum cleaner, it's, I can live this life that says, I've always got to get something. Something's got to come into me. I need more. I need more. And Jesus was talking about the opposite. There's something in you that can come out, right? But there's this idea that I can live my life like this. As a Christian, Jesus is all about helping me get stuff. Give me more. Get. Or I can live a life that's overflowing. When I live this life, one more time, when I live this life, I'm just always in the what's out there should come and be in me, in me, in me. I need that. That should become mine. I should get that. And we live this life that's all about taking in. But Jesus says there's this life that's all about giving out. And instead of constantly going around saying, give me, I want to take it, it's, I've got something to give. And actually, I've got a little bit more to give. And because of what God's done to give thanks, I've actually got more to give. And because the treasures in my life are the right treasures, I'm actually pretty happy. And I've got some peace in my life, so there's more to give. And when I see there's more, I give more, because my life is about what's flowing out from within me to what's going. I don't live life saying I need things out here to come in here. I live life thinking everything in here needs to go out there. My house, my car, my time, my abilities, my finances. And let me tell you what. There's two ways of holiness. I don't know why that. Can you stop it? Okay. There's two ways to live holiness. One of them is as a vacuum cleaner, and one is a fire hydrant. Okay? When I try to live, if I try to be holy unto God, like I try to please Him and do what's right, but in my life, I'm always asking things to come and fill me up. And this, I mean, why do we choose bad relationships? Because I don't have the sense of who I am on the inside. So I need some person who, by the world standards, looks a certain way and has a certain amount of money and security and significance. I need them to come into my life. And then when they come in, I'll feel better about me. If you can be a Christian, but have this kind of vacuum cleaner mentality of I always need everything in me. I need more. I need. I want. This is how I get it. And when you do that, a vacuum cleaner doesn't, you know, whether it's a nail or a piece of dirt or a hair, I mean, it's all coming in. And we can kind of by the law try to say, oh no, keep that out, but everything else, come in, I need more. Or we could have holiness by we're pouring out so much that nothing can get in. You know, that fire hydrant's going, you try to stick a tennis ball in that thing. Try to get it in there. It's not going in. Why? Because everything's coming out. All the good is coming out. I'm spending my time there. So when you have a life that says, I'm grateful for all you have done, and God, I begin to understand that the Father's love is with me, and the Son's grace is always renewing me, and the Spirit's power is always guiding me, and I start living life that way, selfishness can't get in because it's getting pushed out. And lust and covetousness and greed and bitterness and insecurity and comparisons and jealousy, it doesn't have any room to get in because it's all going out. Paul says when you're living life by the Spirit, you fulfill the law, you keep the wrong stuff out, but you're just naturally doing it because you're giving the whole time. And Jesus wants us to be givers in the world of takers. He wants us to be people that choose to live a certain way. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. Fire hydrant theology, what's in me is supposed to come out of me. Let me keep giving and I'll get more. More source will come. For with the measure you use, in other words, the way you live is the way you're going to live. You're going to experience the way you're living. Isn't it interesting? At the end of Jesus' life, he says these words, for the ruler of the world is coming and he has nothing where? In me. Jesus was the spring of eternal life that was always giving and always pouring out. It was full and overflowing and the enemy never could get in. Even in the wilderness, when Jesus was thirsty and hungry, and there was part of his whole personhood who was like, I need something in me. But he kept giving the word, kept giving glory to God, kept giving the truth, kept giving worship, and the enemy never got in. So sometimes the biggest answer to our problems is not who's going to give me something. It's the answer of what am I giving? Am I recognizing what God's already got in me to give to somebody else? And then finally, when eternal life comes into my daily life, it changes why I have peace. Do you get that in the beginning of the dinner, Zacchaeus is called a sinner? Why is Jesus with that sinner? But at the end of the meal, Zacchaeus is called a what? A son. You see, everybody else was looking at Zacchaeus about what he had done. They were judging him by the security, the significance, and the substitutes. But Jesus the whole time was thinking, that's a future son of mine. That's a future family member of mine. And Jesus gave his time. He gave of himself when a crowd wanted him. He gave it to the person that he saw as the next family member in his life. That's where generosity and giving really comes from. I see the family I have and the family yet to be. And I want you to see this, that true peace comes from being part of an eternal family. My peace is not in all these temporary things, all these stoppable things. My peace is that I'm loved by the Father, and I have been sacrificed and saved by the Son, and I'm filled with the Spirit. I've got this family around me. I mean, what did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives who? Your Father great happiness to give you the unending and unstoppable kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. Why? Because the treasure is the people you're given to. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe, and no thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Everybody read the bold with me now. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's a family that God has you a part of. And the reason why you can have a peace about your current circumstance and the future that you're looking at and not sure you've got enough for, because your Father has more than enough for it. More than enough for it. In every area, including the grace you need for the stuff that you know you've done wrong. Me. He's got more of it. Zacchaeus, with one meal with Jesus, changed the way what he treasured, how he lived, and the peace that was in his life. And we're about to have communion. Communion is our meal with Jesus. It's our moment when we remember how much he loves us and that he's given us something that is unending. And there is today a new peace that God wants to put in your heart. I'm sure God's already been speaking to you this morning. But at communion, we remember that his body was broken for us at the cross and his blood was poured out. It was that time. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would just come and begin to distribute communion for us now. I don't know what tradition you come from, if communion is a new concept to you or not. But I'm just going to invite you to take a piece of bread and the little cup and hold it, because we're going to take it together, because that's what families do. Families eat together. You can start distributing. Thank you. I'll need. Thank you. Thank you. At communion, for those of you who are familiar with it, we remember what we were given. Jesus told us to take communion, to have this meal regularly as a way to remember what he's done for us. Like, to always remember that he's giving us something overflowing, no matter what this world is telling us. It's our time to celebrate our eternal treasure. I mean, I guess for some of you, thinking about, you know, family coming together to celebrate is around that meal. And meals are where we remember that sometimes other people need to be there, that we're missing somebody. Someone should be here that's not. And I want to tell you, when you start living your life to give in any way, any dimension, because you're hoping someone else will find the same love you've been given, the same unending grace, the same unending patience and goodness, you start spending your life like that fire hydrant. You just want to pour it out. And it's hard for other silly stuff to get in anymore, because you're just so much about one. Somebody else needs to be at this meal. And so I'm just going to ask you to hold on to that bread and that cup. And I've asked Pastor Brandon to give us a moment of worship. And here's why. And if everybody would hear me even in the midst of what you're doing right now. Because there's a crowd in front of you. It's in the way of you seeing Jesus today. There's lots of stuff in front of your life and in front of your heart. And in this moment of worship, what I want to encourage you to do is get up above all that stuff and just look at him and hear that he's calling your name, not my name for me, but your name for you. He wants to talk with you today. He wants to share this meal with you today, because he wants to give you what this world can't give. And he doesn't want to give you this much of it. He wants to flood your heart with it. So would you follow this turn? Feel free if you want to stand there, so it's not a have to. But I think this hymn hits perfectly what we've been saying today.